Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. The Lord goes to great lengths throughout Holy Scripture, the Old and New Testaments, to warn us of many, notice not a few, but many false prophets are going out among you and to deceive many. Jesus warned us concerning the last days that there would be many false prophets who would rise up and would deceive many. And when we're deceived, it's willingly, because we are not taking cover in Christ. The Bible says in Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth. That's paramount to and exactly what Jesus speaks of when he said we must abide in him. We must remain. We must continue after being saved by him in intimate relationship and fellowship with him. And as we do, our discernment is going to grow. And one of the cornerstone truths of Scripture, very simple but absolutely essential that we understand, is that the Bible says that many false prophets would come out among us, even worse and worse, in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men, speaking of the last days, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I just want to touch on this simple point, yet it is so profound. It cannot be overemphasized. Notice Isaiah 9:16, the prophet of God Isaiah said, for the leaders of this people caused them to err. E-R-R, this is the root word for error. The leaders. See, there's no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1:9. It's the leaders. I want you to underline, I want you to bracket that in your Bible and begin to look for it, and it's going to begin to stand out to you as you read through the whole of Scripture, how it was the prophets and the priests and those, that just means the leaders that misled the pastors, Ezekiel 34, that the seers, those are different words for leaders in the Old Testament, and they misled the people. But right here in Isaiah 9:16, he literally says, for the leaders, that includes all of the different names and nomenclature, such as some of the ones I just mentioned, or all of those and more, that are given to certain people in leadership throughout Scripture. Notice we have in the New Testament the terms false teachers, false prophets, and false apostles. All three of those terms, phrases, appear throughout the New Testament. Notice the leaders of this people do what? They cause the people of God to err, to go into error. And that's why it's so important that you, my beloved friend, that you study to show, you obey God, to study to show your own self approved unto God, a workman. It takes work. It's the most rewarding work that you'll ever partake of. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As you study, you're going to be able to look at Scripture and rightly divide between truth and error. That's what truth under shepherds of the Lord actually do. They teach discernment. That's what we're doing right here. According to Ezekiel 44:23, the Lord says that they will teach my people to discern. That's a Bible word, discern. Discern, and therefore discernment, are a biblical reality. 44:23 Ezekiel, and they shall teach my people the difference. There is a difference
between the holy and profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Notice there are many things that are very deceptive that are being taught today. And unless you know the Word of God very well, you could very well be deceived. Notice in the book of Genesis, before sin had entered into the earth, or should I say before it entered into mankind, because God made Adam and Eve perfect, what happened was Satan tempted the man and the woman, and he cast doubt upon the Word of God, and he changed the Word of God. He said, "Thou shalt not surely die," that is, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know that God said that the man and woman could eat of all the trees except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But Satan added one three-letter word that caused the man and the woman to fall away from God because they did not remain in the sound doctrine that he gave them in the commandment to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Doctrinal exactness is so very important. And if we love Jesus truly, we will study his word with great fervency and diligence and take heed to it, not only in the capacity of our mind and hearts, but in the obedience, the performance of it. Amen. The Bible says, not only to study to show yourself approved unto God, to be a work so that you're not deceived, you're not ashamed in the end. But it also says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James chapter 1, verse 22. Also concerning leaders, false leaders in particular, the Bible says that they run a game, if you will, on people. And if you're not truly rooted and grounded in Christ, you are going to be deceived. In fact, Jesus said it's going to be so bad in the last days that even if the day weren't shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. Matthew 24:22. Notice this is one of Satan's most successful, if you will, in the way of deceiving people, tools that he uses. Notice there is a conspiracy. I'm going to read Ezekiel 22:25-27. We're going to see prophets, priests, and princes. Those are all leaders, people that are operating in a leadership capacity. Some people listening to me still are so gullible. And yes, if that embarrasses you, good. Embarrassment is a good thing. You can get mad at me all you want. You need to get into Word. You're going to be deceived if you don't. And you don't have this all figured out. And it's not enough to just say, well, I've got the discerning of spirits. Well, that's not enough. You got to be grounded in the Word of God. A lot of folks running around calling themselves prophetic, and they're not quoting the more sure word of prophecy. That's the Word of God. I don't want to hear your word. I want to hear the Word. That is, from Genesis to Revelation. Spend your energy and time studying, meditating upon, prayerfully poring over, and memorizing Holy Scripture, the King James Bible. We got a category on our website, safeguardyoursoul.com, called Prophetic or Pathetic. Very interesting. It's loaded with expose of the many false prophets in that certain realm of the so-called prophetic. I know all about it. I used to be caught up in it. And the Lord had mercy and delivered me out of it. Thank God. And granted repentance to my wicked soul. And may God be praised forevermore in Jesus' name for that. So he's saying here, have you ever heard the term birds of a feather flock together? Well, that's a biblical truth, if you will. And here it is, Ezekiel 22:25-27. Notice there is a conspiracy. This is not a theory. This is the truth. This is a fact. There is a conspiracy. And those running around claiming in the realm of politics and all that, that such and such is just a conspiracy theory, that's another realm of much lesser importance. But they have made that phrase and terminology to blackball those that are on to their game. We need to get on to the game of how Satan operates. Scripture tells us that he actually parades himself as an angel of light. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, for such are false apostles. Here it is. Paul is naming the different types of conspiratorial agents of Satan. Conspiracy is against the Lord. This is not a new conspiracy to Satan, because Lucifer, who became called Satan, led a conspiratorial rebellion against God in eternity past, in eternal glory in heaven. He was anointed cherub, the most beautiful angel, but it wasn't enough for him to be created by God and made to be the anointed cherub, Ezekiel 28:13-15. He wanted to be equal with God. The five eyes of Satan or Lucifer, Isaiah 14:12-15. These are fascinating passages that I want you to write down. I want you to grab them. I encourage you as your brother in the Lord, don't just listen to this message. Grab with all you got the scriptural references and go learn them yourself. If you're going to teach the word of God, if you're truly born again, you desire to share the word of God. I can tell you that. If you don't, it's time to have a come to Jesus meeting. If you don't have that desire, again, it's time to repent. God's ready to forgive you, but you got to repent. If you love the Lord, you desire to help other people see the truth of God, and therefore you're going to give the word of God, which never returns back to him void, but it always accomplishes that for which he sends it. Isaiah 55:11. He wants to use you to send it forth. Amen. How shall they hear without a preacher? We're not talking about somebody that sets up a building and a pulpit. Those people reach, they're building their own church business, most of them. The vast majority of them, that's what we're talking about today, false prophets, and how false leaders are causing the people of God to err. But it doesn't have to be in your life. You can discern. You can come out from among them and be separate. God said the fellowship. God said there are servant leaders in the body of Christ. He names apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But it is very obvious that we see a fruition of the prophetic utterances of Scripture, that in this last days there are many false prophets that have set themselves up as God's authority, or as those that are representing Christ, and are actually subverting the truth of Christ, not elevating Christ, not preaching the foundational, the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. And you're not going to know that unless you're in the Word daily. And you make the Word of God your meat. You count it more important than your necessary food. Job 23:12. I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more. He put it above. Than my necessary food. Think about how much time and energy and money you spent on natural food to feed your flesh compared to what value and diligence, energy and money, put your money where your mouth is, you put towards studying, knowing, and supporting the Word of God. Now, do a comparison if you're going to be honest before God. That's between you and Him. But let me encourage you to make that hard examination. Just bear down on it. Fall on the sword. Be honest and say, Lord, listen, beloved, I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you. Nobody needs Jesus more than me. Nobody needs to be honest and not self-deceived more than I do. But I can tell you this, from the Bible, all of our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they're what? They're not only wicked, they are desperately wicked. They're only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9, Genesis 6:5-12. So they must be, we must be crucified with Christ. That's the only way the Christian life works. If studying the Bible is drudgery to you, you got to relationship problem. Have you ever been in a relationship with anybody and you didn't want to spend time with them? Something's wrong in that relationship. If you don't want to spend time with Jesus, and that would mean time in prayer, precious moments in His Word, studying, not just reading through it, but studying and learning, capturing, harvesting the golden nuggets, mining them out of the Word of God, the treasure chest of God's Word. I can tell you this, you're going to have so much joy in your heart. I love what Jeremiah 15:60, what he said there to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, thy words were found. Hallelujah. You got to search to find. Jesus said, search the scriptures. John 5:39. The prophet, the blessed servant of the Lord, Jeremiah, said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. He absolutely devoured the word of God. I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. You ever meet a Christian who just seems to always be on fire? Well, how do you get on fire? Man, you got to get some logs on that fire, beloved. It might only be a spark right now, but man, get some hay, get some logs on there. Just pour the gas on there, get it lit, baby. And then just keep putting logs on that fire like a wise virgin believer by fellowshipping with Jesus, by studying his word, whether it feels good or not, it doesn't matter. You're going to do it. You don't have a choice. If you're going to be one of the wise virgin believers who is with Christ eternally and not shut out of his eternal kingdoms because you refuse to continue in an abiding relationship with Christ after being saved. You were engaged, but you didn't get married. Matthew 25:1-13. Now, so the Apostle Paul, back to our main topic here. The Apostle Paul says this. I'm going to bounce right on back on over to Ezekiel 22. We're talking about a conspiracy of the false prophets. That is a golden, platinum, extremely important truth that we're going to look at here in a minute. And we'll be closing soon. Notice 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. The great apostle Paul, the servant of Christ, who was crucified with Christ. Notice what he says here. For such are false apostles. That is, who are those such? Those are those who are peddling another gospel. Right there in the beginning of that chapter, verses 3-5, or 3 and 4 at least, notice Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, notice this, and we just did this a moment ago, you'll remember, as the serpent, oh boy, remember the serpent in the garden we just talked about, who inserted one three-letter word that led to the fall of mankind. Wow. Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, beware, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. It says that in the same book, 2 Corinthians 2:11. But I fear, Paul says, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Satan is beyond. He is so subtle and deceitful. So Paul says he fears for the Corinthians, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It's in Christ. It's not in a man. It's not in a ministry. It's not in a movement. Beware of these false revivals. They've been coming, and they're going to mislead many in this late hour. It's going to mislead all who are not grounded in a daily walk with Christ. And guess what? That doesn't always feel good, but it's the right thing to do, and it's the right way. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. It doesn't mean going to church. When he said fellowship, he didn't mean going to church. Most of what going to churches these days is basically becoming a church member. Somebody's using you to build their own constituency, to build their own nickels, noses, and numbers. They're building a church business. Why do you think some of you listening have been in the church-going, churchianity thing for so many years, and you don't know 5 scripture memory? Unbelievable. You don't have 5 scriptures memorized, and you've been saved 6 months or a year. You have got to be kidding me. What does that tell us? They're not causing people to be made disciples by seeking God for themselves. They want you back there every Sunday to be a part of their little business they're building. Nickels, noses, and numbers. You don't know it because they come across as so nice. So did Satan. Paul tells us right here, he deceived Eve through his subtlety, his cunning craftiness. The New Testament uses that term. He's deceptive. He's a smooth-talking young guy with dresses and the cool clothes. The words just roll off his lips. But you're not in the Word anyway because you're dependent on man and you refuse to really repent. When you really repent, you're going to be in the Word every day. That's a red flag for many of you right now. If you're not in the Word already every day, you have already backslidden. I'm not telling you that because I'm trying to be mean to you. If you don't like it, just cut this message off. I'm telling you that because that's the Word of God. God. If you got time for everything else, including feeding your face every day and every morning, and you don't have time for Jesus, you are lukewarm. You're going to be spewed out of his mouth. You need to repent. He is not your first love. You are. You can get honest or you can go to hell, because that's what's going to happen. Jesus said you got to be honest. Luke 8:15, to bear fruit unto everlasting life. Luke 8:15. So he says here that he feared that the Corinthians would be beguiled by Satan, as Eve was, through the subtlety of Satan, and corrupted in their minds and drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Christ was a simple man, and so were his apostles. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have fancy vehicles. They didn't have fancy clothes. They didn't build a church building. They didn't beguile and make merchandise of the people. They didn't have airplanes. I know that technology wasn't there, but they wouldn't have that, because they are, Jesus, it says, is lowly. I am meek and lowly in heart.
The point is that Jesus and his apostles would never have bought their own planes. That's a waste of money. And also, they wouldn't do that for sure in order to separate themselves from the very people that Jesus and his apostles came to minister to, as if they were superior to such. Such would be the antithesis of the humility of Christ and all that serve him.
Jesus is humble. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, listen to this. Man, you got to love this. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one, that's God, that inhabiteth eternity. Amen. The New Testament said that the Lord dwelleth in a light that no man can approach. He's infinite. We're finite. He's God, and we're mere men in utter dependence upon him. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is, notice the capital H on holy. Here's what God says, I dwell in the high and holy place. God is high and lifted up. He is on the throne. He's large and in charge of all his creation, and everything that exists was created by him. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. God only has fellowship with those that are of a humble and contrite spirit. God resists the proud, right? But giveth grace unto the humble. God only fellowships with those who are going to choose to be humble and contrite in spirit and tremble at his word. The prophet said, notice, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And I pray right now that your heart would be revived, that you would be moved by God with the gift that he would give you of repentance where needed, and that you would be grounded. You would choose to begin to be grounded more and more in Christ. Amen. You're going to lose out on everything that God has prepared for you, including that mansion Jesus spoke about in John 14:1-6. Jesus said, in his Father's house are many mansions, but you've got to go through him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him. And if you're going to know the way himself, Jesus Christ, you're going to have to walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6. You're going to have to walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6. That's what following Jesus is all about. You got to walk like he walked. You're not going to walk like some pastor walked. You're not going to get involved in the church rigmarole. You start going and then they start getting you involved because they want to hook you, right? Anybody else ever been there? They want you in the choir. They want you doing the soundboard. I don't do that anymore because it's all the same circus in most cases. And many of you are way ahead of me on that. I talk to people every day from all over the world. And so many of them, I got a new post and perhaps book coming out at some time called Quit Church, Follow Christ, something like that. And I've got the testimonies of numerous believers, true disciples, who gave up on the church deal a long time ago. You don't need to find a church when you realize that you are the church. And the true church, like the early church, the true church today in these last days, doesn't wait till Sunday morning to go fellowship. And they can't get enough. The early church did what? Man, they gathered together house to house daily. They couldn't get enough of Jesus, and therefore wanted to be in his word, continue in his word and in prayer and in fellowship and breaking of bread. That is found in Acts 2:42 and 5:42. So 2 Corinthians 11:4, then he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, that means there are folks preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus, not the record of the Son of God, as John put it in 1 John 5:11, that we have on record in the Holy Scriptures. How are you going to know that? How am I going to know that if we're not in that record? We're not searching the Scriptures daily, Jesus said, John 5:39, so that we can see who he is, to know him, and to know truth from error, to be able to discern truth from error, to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Let me just say this. We just read where Satan is very subtle here in 2 Corinthians 11:3, and he has thrown a lot of curveballs out there that is snaring a lot of people. I get messages all the time from people that go, oh, listen to this person, this is great. I'm like, that is an absolute false prophet. Like, what's this clown's name, the Seven Mountain Demon, Lance Wallnau? Somebody sent me one of his videos recently. Absolute worst wolf on the planet. He's part of the conspiracy of false teachers. I know he sounds convincing. He is a very gifted speaker. So was Satan. Obviously, he misled one third of the angels of God in heaven. Try that on for size. In heaven, in the glory of heaven, he was able to mislead one third of the angels of God. Meditate on that. There's a lot of silver-tongued devils out there. It doesn't matter how eloquent a man is. It doesn't matter how smooth talking he is. It doesn't matter how effective he is as a communicator. That does not make what he says the truth. Just because a man is preaching out of great conviction does not mean that conviction is rooted in the Word of God or in the fear of the Lord. The more you grow in discernment, being exercised yourself in the Word of God, Hebrews 5:14. That's how you discern right there. That's what the writer of Hebrews told us. They're able to discern by reason of use of the Word of God. The more you learn, the more God teaches you to learn by circumcising your heart more and more through your daily seeking him in the Word of God and that sword of the Spirit cutting away the foreskin of your heart, the more you're going to see that there are many false prophets. Jesus was not lying to us, neither was his holy apostles as they wrote throughout the New Testament or the prophets of old. I want you to write this down. If you're driving, please don't. But note Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34. Before I forget, those chapters are completely dedicated to exposing false leaders. This is a huge subject. We wrote extensively about this subject in two books, especially called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. That is the number one selling book we have in the ministry collection. They're only there to help you learn God's word. That's it. It's called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. Also, the other one is called Predators in Our Pulpits. And you will capture so much scripture on this topic. We're just touching the surface of how much scripture of the mountain. You'll be amazed how much scripture is on this topic. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached. Notice whom we have not preached. That's paramount to saying that you don't read about in scripture. See, when you know the definite article of Christ and his cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith by personal study, that's how you begin to be able to see that which is counterfeit. We always use, and it's a good thing to use. Listen, these bank tellers, you know how they shuffle the money? You know, they take those $100 bills and go, you know, with that one hand, they can smile and look around and talk to their friends while they're doing it. They're so used to doing it. They have done it for so long. Well, I had a friend that was a banker years ago, and they told me, look, we're so good at counting that money and sifting those dollars and $100 bills through our hands at the end of the day to count everything up, that as soon as a counterfeit dollar, as soon as their fingers touched, they would do it this fast. I mean, they would just, you've seen them sling them $100 bills or whatever, 20s or whatever they're counting. They said that as soon as their fingers touched the counterfeit bill, it was an immediate alarm that stopped them right dead in their tracks as they held on. They kept holding on to that fake bill. That's how they found the fake dollar, $20, $5, $10, $1,000 bills. That's how they found them. They were so used to the definite article, the feel of the real. That's how they discerned the false or the counterfeit. And that's what it says of Jesus prophetically in Isaiah 7. Notice this of Christ and prophesied. It said, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. There it is. That's how you learn to discern the false, the what the Bible calls profane. You learn to discern between the holy and profane. Ezekiel 44:23, learning the definite article by tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Like Jeremiah 15:16, he told us there that the words of God were found, and he did eat them, and his word was unto him the joy and rejoicing of his heart. That's the butter and the honey of relishing, pouring over, delighting in, devouring the word of God. That's the butter and the honey. If you eat the butter and the honey, you'll be able to refuse the evil, to discern and refuse it, and choose the good. Isaiah 7:15. All right. I acted like we were getting ready to close, and I'm trying, folks. This is a big subject. I do highly recommend, if you just need us to give them to you, we will. I'll find a way. The ministry gives away a whole lot more books than it sells. The only reason we put them out in books is we're trying to put out the word of God in every vehicle of communication known to mankind. So if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, it's not in the scriptures, or if ye receive another spirit, notice we got another Jesus and another spirit so far. I want you to underline and bracket those in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 11:4, which ye have not received, or another gospel. There you go. There's only one gospel of Christ, and the record of that gospel is the enthronement of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the central foundational cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith are revealed in Holy Scripture. We've got a Bible, so we don't need to be depending on men to teach us what the gospel says, because you've got a lot of people. Most teachers today are teaching another gospel. It's not one that's squared up with the Holy Scriptures. For example, when you sit under these wolves and you're reading the Bible yourself, you start scratching your head after a little while and go, man, this guy isn't preaching the cross. He's not preaching a crucified life. He's not preaching judgment. He's not preaching that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He's not teaching repentance. He's not teaching that you must be holy for the Lord is holy. On and on and on. That person is preaching another gospel. But brother, he does use scripture. Well, he's purposely leaving out mountains of scripture, and that alone makes him false. It's not just what they're teaching, it's what they're not teaching. And how are you going to know what they're leaving out if you don't know the word for yourself? You're not, and you will be deceived. That's the prophecy Jesus gave. You have a Bible, and God expects you to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must go to the well yourself and dip your cup every day. You're not a baby anymore. It's time to grow up. Paul said that when he became a man, he put away childish things. Well, I'm tired. Well, who's first, you or Jesus? Well, I stayed up all night. He understands that you're going to backslide if you don't fellowship with him. That's what he understands. Get up, wake up, stir yourself up. Isaiah 64:7, stir yourself up in the Lord, no matter what it takes. That was your fault for going to bed late, not God's. Get up and get in the word. The word cannot and will not get into you unless you get into it. And if the day you miss, see, people don't backslide like completely as manifestation of it all of a sudden. They choose to neglect their relationship with Christ. One day leads to two, which leads to three, which leads to a week, a month. Get in the word. Stay in the word. Like people that work out. The Bible says bodily exercise profits a little bit. A little and only temporarily. So I'm going to use that because Paul used three sports to illustrate spiritual truth. You got people that'll start working out and then they quit. What? Are you kidding me? You're going to waste all of that because your body's going to get out of shape and fat. Atrophy happens in 4 days. I don't understand that. Why did you even start without the end in mind? Why didn't you count the cost? Well, I got sore. You're a pansy. It's time to man up. Buck up, get a backbone, and do what you know to do is right. Get in the word stay in the word. If not, you're going to backslide. Go ahead. I'm not joining you. Brother, you're being harsh. Absolutely. That's the kind of people that get stuff done. No excuses. Stop it. Put the axe to the root. Repent and go on a fast and get right with God and stay right with God. So there are those false teachers that are fostering this lukewarmness in people. They're preaching another Jesus that's not found in Scripture. It's a subtle counterfeit in most cases. They're preaching it by another spirit. There are demons behind it. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 speaks of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They cannot be separated. As we see here, that the preaching of another Jesus and another gospel cannot be separated, right in the middle here, from another spirit. In other words, not the Holy Spirit, but a demon. So beware. Then he says in verse 13, as we begin, for such these people are what? He wants to cut off occasion to them. Verse 12. And he said, they are false apostles. So when godly men mark false teachers, as we did earlier with a certain guy earlier, they are doing it under the command of Christ. Romans 16:17-18. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary, in contradiction, that is, to the doctrine of Christ. Romans 16:17-18. They are to be cut off. They are to be cut off. I believe it's Galatians 5:11-12. Paul said he would that those false teachers would cut off. That is violent, very violent language, in case you didn't realize. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Oh, they hold a position, but they're subverting the truth with a false gospel, another Jesus, and it's fueled by another spirit, a demon or demons. For such are false apostles. A lot of folks running around claiming to be apostles today. Guess what? Every one of them that's running around calling himself an apostle is absolutely false. That is a function to serve in, not a title to tout to bring attention to yourself. You immediately know they're false. When they're running around calling themselves a prophet or an apostle, absolutely false. Revelation chapter 2 to the Ephesians, Jesus also addressed false apostles, and he commended the Ephesian believers for discerning them. So he says here, for such are false apostles. They are what? Deceitful. This is such descriptive language. We're not even breaking this down. You can do that. I want you to. For such are false apostles. They're deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. In other words, they hold a position. They're called pastor, teacher, or evangelist, or apostle, or prophet. Ephesians 4:11-12. They're acting in the position of a servant leader or representative of Christ, but they're subverting the gospel. They're teaching another gospel and another Jesus, fueled by another spirit, and most people will never discern it, regrettably. And no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Beware, saints. Let's finish in the passage that we were beginning to delve into a moment ago, Ezekiel 22:25-27. There is a conspiracy. As we began saying in this message, there's a conspiracy. There's a whole conspiracy, a conspiratorial construct of false teachers who align themselves together as a united front to betray the Lord Jesus Christ and to deceive as many souls as they possibly can. And the Bible has so much to say about this. Yeah, another way you know who's a false teacher, that he's not preaching what Jesus and the prophets and the apostles taught concerning beware, beware, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. See, they pretend to represent Christ. They got all the trimmings that make it look good. We mentioned some earlier. They're eloquent speech. They got a degree, so-called degree in what? A degree of deception, because they went to some Bible college or seminary and learn what men had to say about the Bible instead of learning the Bible itself. And you paid how much for that? Man, you are delusional, my friend. Repent and denounce it like Paul did, all your so-called pedigree. Take the stupid crap you got on the wall that you call a certificate or a degree and burn it. Repent of it. Follow Paul's example. Philippians 3, read it. Philippians 3. Jesus didn't have letters behind his name. I believe it's John 7:15. He was mocked for that. But who knew the word better than Christ when he walked the earth? Nobody, ever. He was the marvel of the elder Pharisees who did nothing their whole life except study the word of God when he was 12 years old. Wow. Remember that? Luke chapter 2, when his mom and dad were traveling far out of town and realized they had left him behind, and he's in the temple and they marveled at his questions. Notice the respect there. Jesus didn't preach it at that age, but he asked questions. Yeah, like Luke 2, where it says, and it came to pass, and after 3 days, they found him, Jesus, at 12 years old, in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, that is, the doctors of the law, both hearing them and asking them questions. Throughout his ministry, Jesus asked questions. That is a really wise approach that we might want to consider so that we don't cast a stumbling block. And there's a time to just rebuke people. That's obvious through Christ and his apostles' example. But there are other times that we could actually win the soul over to the truth. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30. We use wisdom, the Holy Spirit will lead us at times to ask questions, to try to kind of bring things to the surface that can be taught correctly to the people. So, and all that heard him, verse 47, Luke 2, were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They were amazed. Verse 49, how is it that you sought me, wist, which means knew ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let me ask you, friend, are you increasing in wisdom and in stature, spiritual maturity, and in favor with God and man? Father, we ask you right now that you would bless our lives to be increased as Jesus's example here. We know this is your will because this is your word. We ask you to increase us in your wisdom and your stature and full maturity in Christ, in favor with God and men, in Jesus' name. So Ezekiel, we're going to try to just read this, and I want you to take note of this passage as we close here, that there is a conspiracy going on, beloved, among false leaders. Not every person posing as a pastor is false, but most of them are. The Bible never says there are many true prophets going out among you. Never. So by deduction, being that it often says there are many false prophets, 1 John 4:1, Matthew 7:15, Matthew 24:11, etc., that there are many false prophets, many, not a few, but many false prophets. There's a conspiracy of her prophets, Ezekiel 22:25, of her leaders in the midst, right in the middle, just like in the Ephesian church, they were going to rise up from within, Acts 20:27-32. Paul said, they weren't coming from the outside. We all know, true Christians, that the Catholic Church, the Mormons, Jehovah, that's external cults, antichrist. That's not the most dangerous ones, not the foreign, but the domestic. Just like Jesus, his most deceptive enemy was who? Judas, one of his 12. The enemy within. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst, there, right in the middle of the professing church, like a roaring lion, ravening prey. That's what Jesus said, beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening, devouring wolves. Matthew 7:15. That's what he says right here. They're ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. That puts a finger on the eternal damnation of those who allow themselves to be deceived. Why are they deceived? They didn't stay full of the Lord. They didn't stay full of the Word of God. They didn't abide in Christ. Otherwise, they would never have been deceived. They did not have the love for the truth. Therefore, God turned them over to strong delusion so that they might be deceived and damned. God takes it personal when you listen to men and not him. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. This is a work of Satan specifically. Let me say it again. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. These deceivers, these conspiratorial deceivers, are devouring souls. They have taken the treasure and precious thing. They have displaced the word of God, in other words. That's the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests, there it is. So far we have prophets. Then we have priests, verse 26. And finally in verse 27, princes, all leaders in different capacities, pretending to represent Christ in Israel. For us, that means those false teachers Jesus and his apostles warned us about, who are in the midst of the Israel of God, that's the body of Christ, Galatians 6:16, that are operating as servant leaders or as representatives for Christ, and yet not teaching the full counsel of God, not getting you in the Word of God yourself. Paul taught the full counsel of God. He commended and endeared men to the Word of God for their conscience to be captive to what? The Word himself, Jesus, and they're taught by the Word himself through his Word from Genesis to Revelation. Her priests have violated my law, my Word, and have profaned my holy things. They make light of things. That's what the prophets taught about the false prophets. I mean, when is the last time you went to a so-called church meeting and you walked out with the fear of God? You were riveted to the core of your being with the fear of God. No, they keep it light. They keep the circus wheels churning. I've even seen so many of them. They'll get a little into a little area of the Word that's kind of harsh, and then they'll cover it up. And they'll do damage control and cover it up. They don't want anybody to get convicted, of course. Oh boy, wouldn't that be a shame? They're showing their hand, man. They're false. They're part of this conspiracy. Doesn't matter if they know it or not, they are. They're deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. These guys will even talk about, yeah, we went to watch a Disney movie, and this reminds me, are you kidding me? That is as wicked and profane as it comes. Walt Disney was an absolute pedophile. You have got to be kidding me. And we've got stuff exposing that on the website, safeguardyoursoul.com. Just put the word Disney in the search box. You have got to be kidding me. They're talking about all these movies. Are you kidding? That person is a false teacher. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Jesus isn't lifted up in the modern churches. Give me a break. They're not holding the head, as Paul warned us about. Colossians 2:18-19. They're not upholding Jesus. They don't preach Christology. They don't have time for Jesus. They just want to use him to build their own church business. That's what's going on right there. That's why they don't have time to teach Jesus, to preach Christ like the early church did. False teachers. And verse 27, the final verse, her princes in the midst there. Notice he says they're in the midst thereof. So again, we got prophets, priests, and now princes, all in leadership positions. That's what represented here. And as we started off, Isaiah 9:16, it is the leaders that covers them all of this people that causes people to err, to go into error. Satan uses them. 2 Corinthians 11, we just read that. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening or devouring the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls. Here it is, to get dishonest gain. That's what Peter warned us of. Notice, to get dishonest gain. They're building a business. Don't kid yourself. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. He says, quote, the false teachers and the false prophets are making merchandise of you. God bless you, friend. I pray that God will bless us to devour his word, to be stirred, to be convicted, to be deep in his word. There's no other way to get deep into Christ. Open your heart, turn your heart to Christ, cry out to him afresh today, beloved, and decide that you're going to get in his word and never look back daily. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying for the ministry.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.